John chapter 10 talks about shepherds and the sheepfold, but in primarily the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. And Jesus identifies himself, John does, rather, as the good shepherd. The good shepherd that came to give his life for his people. The good shepherd that cares for his people. The good shepherd that watches over his flock as a good shepherd would at night. Now I'm just going to skip around in verses chapter 10 primarily. Maybe a little in verses chapters 11 and 12. Primarily chapter 10 this morning. But notice here, chapter 10 verse 1. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and call his and he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. And notice, and when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This is talking about Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, and listening to him. Notice that Jesus is the good shepherd. He comes to his own people. His people hear him. Everyone won't hear Christ. And Jesus tells us in this chapter that they are not of his sheep. They don't hear him because they're not his sheep. They're not in his pasture. And at that point, they're not his people. They can be, but they need to listen. They need to come to him on his terms. Verse 7, notice here, then Jesus said unto them again, truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. He's the door to the church. He's the one way, the truth, and the life. John 14, verse 6, no man comes to the Father but through Christ. We have to come to God on his terms. There is no other way. There is no middle wall of partition. Jesus is the one way, the truth, and the life. He is the good shepherd. He is the door of the sheep. Notice verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. You can only enter the sheepfold, as he talks about, the church, through Christ. You have to do it Christ. Well, you can't just join some church somewhere. You have to enter the sheepfold, the Lord's church, his way. We know that took place in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles to guide them into all truth. The truth that said Jesus said will make all men free from sin. And that is the truth that guided them into all truth, the early church. We know in Acts 2, verse 41, after Peter preached that first sermon, then they that gladly received his word. Notice they listened to the word of the good shepherd that Simon Peter preached. They believed it in good and honest hearts. They received it. Acts 2, verse 41, notice, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and they were added to the church. That's how they entered the sheepfold. That's how they entered the spiritual body of Christ, the kingdom, the church, by obeying the gospel. I am the door of the sheep. Again, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus is the only one that could do that. He was the sinless Son of God. He was the perfect Lamb of God. Only he could make that perfect sacrifice for you and me. We could never do it. No one could ever do it. Does not Paul the Apostle tell us in Romans chapter 3, I believe it's verses 10 and 12, there's none good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. Apart from God, we cannot be right with God. We have to be right with God his way. And that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, and he's brought his good message, and that is the gospel. The gospel simply means good news, good tidings. And that was the good tidings that the angel told the shepherds who watched over their flock that night. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And that was about the birth of Christ, the Savior to the world. That was good news. The gospel is good news. And the good news is that Jesus came and died, suffered for our sins and died in our places that we could have eternal life. But again, we have to believe and obey that gospel. Jesus, before he went back to heaven, told the apostles, go into all the world, preach the good news, preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Of course, we know after that you need to continue faithful. As Colossians 1:23 tells us, Revelation 2, verse 10, be thou faithful unto death. And Jesus said, I will give you a crown of life. Jesus is that good shepherd. The sheepfold is the Lord's church. And that's where God's people are. We notice the saved in Acts chapter 2, to cross-reference back to that, where are the saved? In the church. Acts 2, verses 41 through 47. The saved were those who heard the gospel, believed it, rendered obedience to it by faith and obedience, and were baptized. And the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. Where are the saved? They're in the church. What does that tell us about being outside the church? Salvation is in the church, just like salvation for Noah and his family was in the ark. Who was saved outside the ark? Not one. Not one soul. But the only ones who were saved were the ones that were in the right place, God's way. That was in the ark in Noah's day. Today, it'll be in the Lord's church. For Christ is the Savior of the body, which is the spiritual body, or the church, Ephesians 5, verse 23. Christ is that good shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Do you remember the agony Jesus suffered in the garden? As a human being, his human side realized what he was about to face. He was about to be spit upon, slapped, hit, mocked, ridiculed, rejected by his own people, unknown by the world that he created, crucified, whipped mercilessly before that, turned over to the Romans by the people he came to bring salvation. And yet he did that anyway, gladly. And he felt as a human being that night, as we would have felt if you knew you were about to die, if you knew you were about to undergo something like that. Notice verse 13, John 10. He says, the hireling flees. This is a shepherd that came before Jesus. The hireling flees because he is an hireling and cares not for the sheep. You can tell when someone cares about you, can't you? And Jesus said, those who ever came before him didn't care for him, his people, like he does. They flee when trouble comes. Verse 14 again, he says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. Jesus knows you by name. Did you know that? Look at Jeremiah 1 verse 5. Before Jeremiah the prophet was born, he told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. He knew him as a person and he had a mission for him. He would make him a prophet. He had a purpose for him before he was born. What does that tell us about the unborn child? It's a human being. It's human. Seed produces seed after its own kind. We know that he was a human being. God recognized him as a human being and as a person with a name and a purpose. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. Does Jesus know you as one of his sheep? We want him to know us as one of his, don't we? Okay. But we need to be one of his sheep, don't we? Okay? We need to be one of his sheep. Verse 16 is a powerful passage. Notice this. Actually, I want to go back to verse 15, excuse me. 15 through 18. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Here, notice verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Verse 17. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. Excuse me. Verse 18. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Several points I want to make here. Notice, Jesus said he has sheep, other sheep that are not of this fold. That's primarily a reference to the Gentiles who could also have salvation through the gospel the same way. By the preaching of the gospel, they could also be saved. They are not of that fold, but he needs to bring them to that fold. Where do they need to come to be saved? They need to come to that one sheepfold. How many sheepfolds does he have? The latter part of verse 16. And there shall be one fold, and one shepherd. Jesus is that one true shepherd, the one great shepherd, our great high priest that can forgive sins. There's no man on earth that can forgive sins, but Jesus Christ can. He is the Savior, and he came to forgive us of our sins. But there's one fold and one shepherd. There are people out there that have good and honest hearts that we need to look for and find them, because they need to hear the good message. They need to believe. Some will believe, some won't. Some will not believe the good shepherd. Some did not believe Jesus when he performed miracles. If you remember Psalm 78 sometime, verse 22 in particular, notice that Psalm tells us about the Israelites of Moses' day. Those were the people that Moses had to lead out of Egypt. And if you remember, Moses didn't want to be a leader. He said, I can't speak. I'm not a leader. I can't lead these people. God made him a leader anyway. And so he did with the help of his brother Aaron. But Psalm 78, read that whole passage sometime. Verse 22 in particular. These people that were God's people under the law of Moses, the Israelites, the Jews, that saw the 10 plagues of Egypt, the things that God did, they heard his voice at Mount Sinai, and the mountain shook and trembled. And yet, Psalm 78, verse 22, of those people, it says, yet they did not believe in God nor trust in his salvation. Unbelief. Hebrews chapter 3 refers back to that. They had evil hearts of unbelief. Some people wouldn't believe if they saw Jesus today. The Jews didn't believe when they saw him then. Some did, many didn't. But you see, they were not of his sheep, and they could not hear his voice. They couldn't understand the things that he said. There's a major denomination today that teaches that the sheepfold or the church is just an afterthought. That Jesus came to set up an earthly kingdom, and that the Jews stopped him. And so on the cross, Jesus set up the church as an afterthought. We know from Ephesians 3, verses 9 and 10, I believe, that the church was in the manifold mind of God before creation. It's in the eternal purpose of God. The church was not an afterthought. Matthew 16, 18 and 19. Notice here, the one thing they say also about that is that that the Jews stopped Jesus from carrying out his purpose. Who could believe that? Could you as a Bible believer believe that people could stop the Son of God from doing his will, from carrying out the mission of God? And they come up with this man-made doctrine, the church is an afterthought. It's really not important whether you go to church or not. The church is God's people, and that's who Jesus died and bled for, you and me, his people, his sheepfold. The church is not an afterthought. It never was. So they took Jesus' life. That was prophesied. That was coming. Notice what Jesus said. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Jesus gave his life gladly. They did not kill him. When he was upon the cross, he gave up the Spirit when it was time. When he said, it is finished. When he had done everything he came to do, he said, I finished the work that God gave me to do. He finished everything, including dying on the cross. Then it was finished. Then he laid down his life. And notice, he took it up again. 3 days later, he took up his life again and rose from the dead, as the scriptures say. 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter, verses 3 through 4. Jesus died for our sins and rose again from the dead. The good shepherd rose to save his people. Well, you notice in verse 19 that there was a division among the Jews for these sayings. Notice what they said in verses 20 and 21, John chapter 10. And many of them said, "He has a devil and is mad. Why hear you him?" Some accused Jesus of having a devil by saying these things, by saying he's the good shepherd, that he lays down his life for the sheep, that he will take it up again. But others in verse 21 said, "These are not the words of one that has a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" If you remember, he had opened the eyes of a man who had been born blind. No one had ever done that. Who else could do that but God, or God who was with him? Now notice, they've seen, like the Israelites of old in verse 24, they've heard Jesus preach, they've heard him teach, they've seen his miracles, and look at verse 24, what they ask. "Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." He had performed miracles that no man had ever done. He had raised the dead that no man had ever done, except a prophet. "If thou be the Christ." Notice conditional statement. They have doubt. This would be a second-class conditional statement, assuming they don't believe it. "If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." And notice what he said in the next verse, verse 25. "Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not." That was their problem. They didn't believe. He said, "The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." Verse 26, "But you believe not." Notice what he says. Why did they not believe? "Because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you." They are not of his sheep. They don't recognize the Father. They don't know God the Father. How would they know the Son? Verse 27, "The sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." We know God's voice, don't we? We know God's word. When someone says something else from God's word, we don't need to listen to them, do we? We don't follow them. We don't know them. We don't recognize their voice. Verse 26, "But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you." His sheep that follow him, notice verse 27, "I give unto them eternal life." What's conditional for eternal life? We have to be sheep in God's pasture. We have to hear him. We have to follow him. How do you follow Jesus? First of all, you have to receive him. You have to receive his word. How do you receive Christ? Go back to Acts 2, verse 41. They that gladly received his word were baptized. Receive his word. You cannot receive Christ unless you receive his word. There's a lot of talk in the denomination today. Receive Christ. Ask Christ into your heart. There's no passage in the Bible that says that. You receive Christ when you believe and do what he says. You come to the Good Shepherd on his terms, and you do what he said. Hebrews 5, verse 9, notice Christ is not the Savior to those who believe, but to those who obey him. We have to render faith and obedience. Faith, real faith, comes from hearing God's word, Romans 10, verse 17. And that faith produces obedience. That's the obedience that brings about salvation. And then we can say in Ephesians 2, 8 and 10, "For by grace are we saved through faith." Not grace alone, could have been. But God said we're saved by grace through faith. God's part is grace, unmerited favor. When we've done everything we can do, we've still done nothing. Even then, Jesus said, "Say, I'm an unprofitable servant. I've just done that which is my duty to do." God's part is grace. Our part is obedient faith. Faith, not just dead faith as the devils have. James 2:19. The devils believe, the demons. We need a better faith than that. We need a living faith. We need a working faith. Faith and obedience to be saved. In verse 30, Jesus said, and I'll finish my lesson, "I and my Father are one." And notice the Jews didn't like that at all. He said, "I and my Father are one." He finally admitted, "I am one with my Father. I am one with God." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him, and he asked them, many good works have I done. For which good works do you stone me? And they said, not for good works, but because you blaspheme. You make yourself equal with God. You see, they didn't know that the Messiah would be equal with God, that he was equal with God, that he was God in the flesh. John 1, verses 1 and 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, Jesus Christ. He was. But many people could not receive Christ because they did not believe. They did not believe because they were not of his sheepfold. They wouldn't believe. They could soften their hearts and believe. We talked this morning in Bible class, I think it's hard for some people to understand the Scriptures because they have so much other stuff that they've heard that men teach. You know, there are 400 some odd different denominations in this country teaching different things. Who would not be confused? How would you not be confused unless you have your head in this book? And you know that some are teaching error. Many are teaching error. Adding to, subtracting from, changing, altering. Doesn't the Bible tell us not to do that? We cannot accept or receive Christ and His Word and be His sheep if we listen to strangers. Strangers today preach false doctrines. How do we know it's a false doctrine? You need to know the book yourself. A lot of those good people are good people, but they're wrong religiously because they go to a church and they listen to a man that doesn't know the Bible himself. And they're not his sheep. They're good people. What did Jesus say in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14? There's a straight and narrow gate that leads to life. Few there be that find it. We have to labor to enter in through that narrow gate. Verses 21 through 23. Notice this. On Judgment Day, Jesus said many good people, religious people, that thought they were saved will come to Him and say, did we not do this in your name? Didn't we do this? And we talked about that this morning. And He will say, depart from me. I never knew you. Jesus said He knows His sheep. In that day He will tell them, I never knew you. You didn't do the Father's will. You see, to be saved, we have to do the God's will. We have to know His will and do His will to be right with God. That's what makes us His sheep and His pasture. That's what makes Him the good shepherd this morning. One last passage and I'll close my lesson. And that is verses 37 and 38. If I do the works of my Father, believe me not. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe me not, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in Him. I want to close with that passage in John chapter 10. And I want you to notice one thing. I was thinking about this recently. We talk about faith a lot. I believe this, I believe that. And that's good. We do believe certain things. We know it's true from the Bible. And I want to give you one Greek word that goes beyond faith, and that is gnosko. That means I know. I know absolutely what I believe. I don't just believe it. It's not something I believe or choose to believe. I believe it because God tells me. And then I can know. This is the truth. There's one sheepfold. There's one church. There's one plan of salvation. And that's God's way. We need to help people understand that. There's a lot of good people in the world that just don't know that. And they need to know. We need to learn how to teach people kindly and in love, and we need to help them understand these things. Act 2, verse 40. Notice, even after Peter preached the gospel, it says, then with many other words did he testify and exhort, encouraging them. They need to grasp it. We need to help them grasp it. It's really not that hard. This morning, if you're with us and you've never obeyed the gospel, you need to know, if you never become a Christian, that Jesus would have you die with Him in baptism to have your sins washed away by the blood of Christ. Revelation 1 verse 5 tells us that. He loved us and washed us in His own blood. How does that happen? When you hear the gospel, you believe it, and you're willing to confess your faith in Christ and be buried with Him in baptism. Picture Christ on the cross. He died. He was buried, immersed. He was buried. And that's what Paul pictures us being baptized in water. We're immersed. We die with Christ. We're immersed in water, buried, resurrected, become a new creation. Your past sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. You're now a child of God, been born again of that new birth. If you've never experienced that new birth, maybe you could do that this morning. If you are a child of God and you have prayers you need for yourself or for someone else, if we can help you in any way, if you'd let that be known as we stand and as we sing.